Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm very excited, actually, because I am talking to Andrew Bourne. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
It is going very well, and I'm really excited to talk to you because, and it's funny, before I hit record, I was going to double check this fact with you, but you're here because your film, Church Camp, was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival last year in 2022, and I love the film. It's just smart and funny. Love the message. Love everything about it. And I'm pretty sure we didn't do a Q&A last year.
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah, we could have done a Zoom one because you live... Well, I'm in LA, and you want to say where you're coming from?
I'm in New York, yeah.
New York and LA. You can't exactly do an in-person Q&A.
Exactly.
So in a way, this podcast is fun for me. Extra fun because it's kind of like a makeup Q&A in a way, since we didn't get to actually talk. We just emailed a lot, I think, last year when you were in the festival. So great to talk to you. And I will add for everyone listening that I just told you how much I like Church Camp. If you want to watch Church Camp, you can like do it right now. Just go to TV High, the smart TV app that I partnered with some people on. It's on, I'll get the list right. It's Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Android TV, Apple TV, and then also Android Mobile and iPhone Mobile. So, and if you don't even like that stuff, you just have a computer or a web page, you can always go to watchtvhi.com, but it's TVHI on all those app stores. And it is a new streaming channel that is all indie stuff. And I'm very proud to have Church Camp on there. And we've put Church Camp on there today. So,
yes.
Even though your podcast, even though this interview won't come out probably till next week, actually, we only have to wait a week. But so even though we're talking on the day Church Camp hit the, I know it's not airwaves, but what do we say? I'll still call it the airwaves.
Yeah, yeah.
it hit the airwaves today on TV High. Very proud of that. So I always try to point this out. Church Camp was at Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2022, and you took home two beautiful awards. You got Outstanding Short Film Comedy and Outstanding Director Comedy.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, I really appreciate the accolades, and then also just like being on the streamer is really exciting. So yeah, I'm super excited about you.
And if people couldn't tell, Andrew and I are on Zoom, and I've noticed there's something funky. I'm just gonna give my disclaimer about Zoom, which is, to us, when we're on Zoom, I feel like it never feels like we're stepping on each other's sentences, but there's some kind of micro delay. And when you listen back to the audio, I'm like, why am I interrupting him? So I swear to God, I'm never trying to interrupt you. You wrote and directed this great film, this great short film. When did you first get inspired to get into film, get into storytelling?
Yeah. Yeah. My parents were photographers, and I wanted to rebel against photography and do videography and film instead. I'm just kidding. But I traveled in an RV when I was a kid and had a little video camera and would make up stories of people we met and places we would go and say, oh, that'd be a great filming location. Always had an interest in reading and writing, and that became like a pastime on the road as far as like writing a blog about our travels and sending it back to the folks in Georgia. And did some theater in high school and kind of like did a lot of different activities in high school. Got interested in the video club, and we would basically do short films every week and comedy sketches every week for our school. That was really fun, just to have something where you could make it very quickly and then show it to an audience that week and rinse and repeat. And then I wanted to go to Florida State's film school, went there and had a great time there, met a lot of great friends and collaborators, many of whom have worked on this film, including Matthew Romansky, who was the cinematographer, and also we came up with the story for Church Camp together. And so it kind of acted as both of our thesis films, the project did. And so we got extra days because it was two people's project instead of one people's one person's project, and got more runtime because of that as well. But yeah,
it's pretty excellent. I'm gonna mention that because you grew up in Georgia and then went to FSU, and I believe we get, like, of all the film schools, particularly undergraduate film schools in this country, like, we get a lot of submissions from Florida State University, like, every year. I don't know if someone spread word there that we embrace you all or something, but because I think every festival now we have, you know, maybe two or three from FSU. I'm not saying everything from FSU is awesome, but I've seen a lot of good work out of FSU.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, there might be some sort of connection where they've mentioned it. You're definitely in a Google spreadsheet of, like, good festivals to submit to.
Oh, that's funny. Is that run by students, or is that, like, actually a professor bothers to do that for their students?
Yeah, we have a faculty member who specializes in festival outreach. She's great.
Oh, well, then it all came together. She probably found us on the top 100 best reviewed list. And then I don't know how many we get each year, but I see there's a very slick bumper, FSU bumper, at the start of every FSU film. Right. So it's hard to miss them. And yeah, I guess because you got in and you got awards. So I'm sure that's encouraging for other people to submit after the fact.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely spread the word.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. But so was it, and it sounds like it was a really rewarding program for you. You chose the right place?
I think so. The nice thing about the program is that it has in-state tuition for a lot of folks. And it also, you know, you're able to do all the different roles on a production. And then they give you the equipment and your crew for free, whereas some film schools you have to get outside crew. So,
and some film schools you pay tuition and then you have to pay even more when you make your films, which I've had quite a few people complain about that on this podcast. Kind of feels wrong, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it feels like, what? Yeah, why am I going to the school if it's like,
yeah, what's my tuition paying for? If the equipment in that room, if I have to pay extra to use it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a strange. It's a strange.
And you said in-state tuition. Did you move from Georgia to Florida before?
No, there was some strange thing where I was able to get in-state tuition. I think partly because they were trying to get people from Georgia, and then partly like ACT score and extracurriculars and stuff like that. So for some reason they did in-state tuition for them.
Gotcha. Well, I guess that's how the college game goes now, is colleges, except when they want someone, they start coming up with creative ways to make it worth that person's while. Yeah. So if on paper you were the kind of student they wanted, they'll be like, well, you're from Georgia, but we can pretend you're from Florida.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, definitely something like that. And I think also, like, a lot of people that go to school in Florida, they get free tuition too, which is even better.
That is better. That's from Florida. That's great. And it sounds like there's a good, so you had a good experience there and good professors, good staff.
Yeah. What's nice about it is that you're away from Atlanta, New York, or LA. So you're not being pulled onto professional productions. You basically get to just focus on your student productions in a conservatory like environment, similar to North Carolina's film school, where it's like not necessarily in like a film hub. And so we basically got to, you know, use all of the resources of Tallahassee and not have to worry about a city that was weary of film productions, you know, like LA, where people might not be excited about filmmaking.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, that is a very well-established truth that you get outside of LA, New York, Chicago, And all of a sudden businesses are like, oh, you want to shoot here? Someone told me that they were shooting, I think, in Idaho. And they asked this bar if they could shoot there. And they said, well, under one condition, can we watch? Whereas a bar in New York or LA, they go, well, how much money are you going to pay us?
Right.
Even if you're using it when they're closed, right? They just want to milk every production.
Yeah. And what I've discovered also, which is a good thing, but like in New York, it's pretty much every production is paid. There's not a lot that are not. So it's a very different culture than maybe Georgia or Florida.
Yeah. And FSU is sounds pretty hands-on, pretty practical, or is there a lot of film study, like, you know, theoretical work too?
It's very hands-on. Most of the curriculum is making the films. So we'll have like an entire semester that's just making each film and everyone rotating positions.
And right, so like first year, right off the bat, you're making films.
Yeah, exactly. Basically October of our first year, we were filming and writing things. And the program is structured like your sophomore year, fall, you make a film. Your spring semester of your sophomore year, you make a documentary. You stay over the summer and then you make another film called an F2, which is mostly just a directing exercise. And then of something you didn't write also. And then fall semester, you work on the thesis films for half the semester and then of your junior year. And then you write half the semester. Spring semester, you shoot your junior year films. Summer, you write your thesis films. Fall, you shoot your thesis films. Spring, you edit your thesis films. So it's very project-based.
Right, and very structured. So you know you're just going to... So did you see your work getting better every year?
I think so. I think I got lucky on a couple of my early projects, so I didn't fail quite as hard, maybe. And I think if I had failed harder, I maybe would have come out a little bit more disciplined on the other way. Because I'm definitely still figuring it out, but I feel good about the projects I made in school and definitely learned a lot from them. And yeah, I would say they're all kind of different beasts, so it's hard to kind of compare them to each other, I guess. Especially like a documentary versus like a family drama was my junior year film, and then more of a comedy drama was my thesis film. So
excellent. Yeah. And then, so when you were graduating, were you deciding which coast to go to?
Yeah, a lot of my friends moved here and I wanted to be involved in the comedy space, and seemed like a nice competitive environment to be in that also fostered a lot of indie film. Because I think Atlanta is great too. I like Atlanta a lot. But I think in those areas of LA and Atlanta are more based on like, what's your specific job in the industry? And this is kind of like a general statement. So like, I don't know if it's like 100% holds water, but it seems like in LA, it's a lot more like you can be kind of more one thing to a lot of people. If that makes sense, like you're whatever your actual job is in the industry. Versus in New York, I feel like people can be a lot of different things for better and for worse.
Right. And New York, I mean, both have comedy scenes, but yeah, New York kind of has an underground comedy scene and LA has one, but you know, it's kind of dominated by stand-ups and sketch people who are really just trying to get on TV. Whereas there's definitely a comedy scene in New York that's all about, you know, saying fuck TV.
Right. Yeah. It's 100%. That's what it is. Yeah. It's very much alt comedy and just comedy for the sake of comedy and weird for the sake of weird, and not a lot of thought put into monetizing it or making it And I mean, obviously there's different contingents that are more commercial, but there's definitely a larger contingent in New York that is not interested in that versus LA. But, you know, a lot of those people write for TV shows. They just may not put their type of, you know, personal touch directly onto TV shows. I don't know.
Yeah. And you're, and up there, are you mostly crewing up, or are you also, I don't know, are you a performer at all, or totally always behind the camera?
I am a performer. I have been doing some stand-up and sketch comedy as well as improv, and parsing out which of those I want to pursue more strategically. And I just made two comedy music videos and gonna release those, and wrote the lyrics for those, and I'm also performing in those. So I'm excited about those. And definitely love making comedy sketches. You know, feels like a nice way to make a short film with less money and less stakes involved. And be able to make something that is quick and done, and but you're still practicing a lot of the tenets of filmmaking. So I enjoy video sketches a lot.
For sure, yeah. And were you also, when you were younger, were you performing? Like, because all I know is you didn't, as far as I know, you didn't give yourself a cameo in Church Camp. Probably too busy.
No.
Probably too busy with the whole writing and directing thing.
Yeah, yeah. That one was pretty much wanted to completely just be in the director's chair. And me and Matt both had a cameo where we were like just shadows in the deep background of like this wide shot of an establishing shot, but that one just got cut. So we just ended up not being in it at all. But you wouldn't have even recognized us if we were. Yeah, I did performing in, I did a couple musicals in high school. And then I would perform when making videos for the school news. So performing and stuff was somewhat out of necessity, but a lot of the projects that I've performed in have been self-generated. Just finished a short film with a buddy of mine that is like a nice, absurd, comedy drama film. And, that one he directed. So that was nice to, you know, just worry about the acting side of things. And that one, I play three different characters over the course of 10 minutes. So I'm excited to show that to people. I basically play a father and then his son and then his grandson.
And you mentioned the musicals and musical theater and stuff. And you mentioned some music, comedy, music videos you're making. Oh. So clearly, and there's music in Church Camp. So
yeah. Yeah. It only has diegetic music, which we were kind of thrilled about. But yeah, music has definitely been a part of my, projects for a long time. And I did a choir and chorus in school. So that was part of it as well.
So you got a trained voice.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. I could definitely stand to take some more vocal lessons, but yeah, I enjoy singing and making music. We made, my friend Jackson and I, who made the instrumentals for the comedy music videos, we also made a musical in our freshman year of college, and that kind of helped me get into the film school a little bit, just because it was like something different. So it was like an hour long stage musical based on a short film that I had made in high school.
Oh, very cool. But I mean, I'm not suggesting you're New York trying to end up on the Broadway stage. You are
no.
Yeah. But it's nice that you have the music interest and you're able to give yourself an outlet for it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's not too many musical comedians, so it's an interesting you know, genre to wait around in. But there are a lot of people in New York that do it. I don't know how many do it in LA, but
it's because this ain't a comedy podcast, we don't have to go into it too much, but
yeah.
But musical comics, oh my God, that's a lightning rod issue, isn't it, among the comedy community? Like when a comedian brings a guitar on stage or a ukulele or something, a lot of pure stand-ups, they just reject it right off the top, right? Even though it's not fair. If someone's hilarious with their guitar, then they're hilarious with their guitar.
Yeah. It's interesting there. Yeah. Not to delve too much into it, but yeah, that is definitely a stigma, just of people thinking that it's a gimmick. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it makes someone who might not get as many laughs get more laughs just because of the novelty of it. But there's definitely a lot of good new musical comedians. Like there's one guy, Morgan Jay. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he just like sings crowd work basically. And it's bizarre, but it works. And he's very, he seems like a club type comic. So it's an interesting thing. Yeah.
Very cool. Singing crowd work. Wow. That's some serious improv skill.
Yeah, yeah, it's a strange thing to watch, but it's cool.
Have you done any improv type stuff?
Yeah, yeah, I have been taking UCB classes and definitely enjoy improv because you can do it with other people and you don't have to prep anything beforehand. And I find a lot of my comedy to be better when it's improvisational with stand-up too. Like I think it's sometimes hard for me to like memorize a funny way to say something. And sometimes it feels a little bit less, it feels a little more forced on like the second or third time I, say something. Cause I feel like a lot of good stand-ups, you know, it's a magic trick of pretending that you're saying it in the moment, that you're like coming up with it in the moment. Stand-ups definitely don't get enough credit for like how much acting is involved in that, where they're just pretending to like authentically have a thought, you know?
No, for sure. And how they, the first time they brought that, they might've written that joke or they might've written the bit and then it bombs for 6 months and then they keep trying it different ways. Like you said, like improvising, like performing it. And then all of a sudden someone suggests a hook or so, or a tag or whatever, but yeah, all of a sudden the delivery changes and now they've got something that kills. And then, like you said, then they, depending on what kind of comedian they are, then they go around the country doing it over and over again as if they're doing it for the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think people have really acknowledged that when people who are in comedy act and or do drama, it comes out really well.
Mm-hmm.
And when dramatic people do comedy, it sucks. I don't mean to be a dick about it, but
yeah. I think the thing that often people talk about is like how it's people doing drama are just like kind of trying too hard to, you know, do the joke or whatever it is. And they think that comedy acting is different than drama acting, but you really are just kind of believing authentically whatever the weird, funny thing that you do in the scene. And so I think, yeah, when drama actors try to do comedy, sometimes it comes out like they're kind of winking to the audience, like, isn't this funny?
You know? Yeah. Aren't I? Yeah. That's the worst thing is, aren't I being funny? Yeah. That's not everyone does it. Lord knows De Niro made a nice transition, but, but more. So anyway, I was going to ask, so we kind of did jump over church camp, kind of quickly. Do you want to, so you worked out the story with your friend, Matthew, collaborator.
Yeah.
Do you want to share like the origins of the project?
Yeah, sure. I went to a lot of church camps in Georgia that were rural and really fun, like summer camps, and had kind of, you know, been interested in like the intersection of sexuality and religion in an environment where like someone who is a church camp counselor like would probably be, you know, religious and care about the community that comes from church and that comes from church camp. And, the film was definitely like an effort to take like an empathetic look at, you know, a lot of churches that, you know, maybe the pastor isn't necessarily, you know, as educated on certain things, but they feel empathetic towards their, you know, gay campers or counselors. And so the film was like an effort to kind of do a church camp movie that wasn't super sad and somber, you know, wasn't people confessing things in mass, or, you know, not say that that's a bad church camp movie, but like, or a church movie, but, you know, not anything to do with, conversion therapy or anything like that. So that was where a lot of the inspiration came from, was to try to make a movie about, you know, someone coming out kind of more, funny and weird, and poke fun at church camp, but and churches, but not in a way that is making fun of them and, you know, attacking their faith. So yeah, that was basically, the project. And, it's a little bit autobiographical, just, in terms of, you know, coming out to a pastor and it not necessarily going as well as it does in the film. But the end of the film is kind of like, I'll spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but the end of the film is basically like the pastor has like a little bit of an ambiguous, but like probably positive reaction to the counselor coming out. And there's like a lot of circumstances that lead up to him coming out. But that was kind of an effort to show an optimistic portrayal of like what church environments could be in the future, especially, because there are a lot of church environments that are more accepting, not enough, but there are definitely something that is like changing, across a lot of different denominations. So that's my soapbox.
Well, and I think that's why the jury really responded to it. Both the filmmakers board and the selection jury, because it's not critical of religion. I think one of the things I appreciate most about it is that it's showing how hard, even in a welcoming environment, like, so I think straight people tend to be like, should be easy to come out now. And it's like, even when the whole world seems welcoming to the idea, to share something that personal is still an incredibly stressful, tense thing. And it's just always safer to not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't think many films, and needless to say, I mean, as 10 years in the film festival world, you know, thank God for all the wonderful coming out films. But in this case, I don't think there's many that really focus on that it's really hard to do, even if you're in a welcoming environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think some, you know, some of the question is like, okay, you know, there's this gay camper who's like out as gay in this church camp environment, but like, how much is, you know, would people's opinions of the counselor change if they knew that he was bi? And kind of, yeah, like what would the pastor think? Cause he's also like a member of the leadership of the church too, or of the church camp. And so that was definitely a question as well. And also wanted to depict, like a bisexual guy. Cause I feel like that's something that isn't really seen quite as much, in media. And show him as someone who's like, you know, not necessarily super feminine and not necessarily super masculine either. And just kind of just anybody. So yeah, that's definitely something that I want to explore in later stuff I do as well. Is just kind of that archetype or that character.
For sure. And talk about underrepresented community. I mean, 16 I think I'm about to have 16 film festivals under my belt, and counting church camp, there's two that deal with bisexuality.
Two. Wow.
Just two. All those years, you know, and because there's, well, we don't have to jump into a big talk about that, but I'm proud to say that the maker of the other one, he's bi, and you know, he and his partner come over for game night and everything. Even sometimes I turn these podcasts into game night invites, but but yeah, it's right. It's a really challenging thing because there might be an anagram with a plus at the end of all these letters, but it doesn't mean that all those communities are very accepting and kind towards each other all the time.
Right. Yeah. And it's the biggest category of LGBTQ plus people. So it's easy for there not to be as clear a marker for representation, I think, because there's so many different like people that are bi and types of people that are bi versus like maybe, you know, different groups or whatever that may have more clear not stereotypes, but like clear like identity things that like they can like rally around or whatever.
Sure. And bisexuality, it's, I mean, all sexuality is a spectrum, but it certainly is a lot easier for people to say, I am this.
Yeah.
But yeah, bisexuality is the most spectrum-y of spectrums, right? It's just where people fall on it. Hell, and I got friends who've identified as gay, and every once in a while they do sleep with the opposite sex. They go, well, that doesn't make me bi. And I'm like, whatever, however you want to define yourself, but
yeah,
you know, I kind of think you might be, but
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you talk to someone who is exclusively with men and then you're with a woman like every once or twice a year, I'm like, I don't know, that person might consider you bi, but it's up to you if you don't like the term.
Yeah. And some people don't too. Some people prefer other terms. When I say bi, I think it encompasses, you know, everybody, but some people kind of use pan to,
I was going to say, yeah, pan. In fact, I asked the guy, I was like, his Q&A at the theater, I'm like, so by the way, you definitely use the term bi over and over. Is there a reason you're you know, staying binary and not being more pan? He goes, well, it's not that I don't like non-binary people, but I just grew up with the term bi, so I'm holding on to it. So,
yeah, I think pan also maybe just has like kind of a, yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, and nothing to people who use pan, but like, it just kind of is, for me at least, it feels like more of a, yeah, I don't know. It's like a harder thing to maybe.
It's more vague.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't really, like, I kind of, don't really think of the word bi as like being a binary. So, but some people do and keep it kind of as a clear distinction, but who cares? They're all just words, whatever works for you.
Deep down. Yeah, exactly. Who cares? And that is obviously part of the message of church camp is, mm-hmm. is just be yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, if people don't want to come out in church environments, like that's totally also valid and their prerogative.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe your lead character does say the thing of like, I mean, yeah, but that's not all I am. why do I have to be identified? You know, he doesn't want to share it because he doesn't just want to be known as the bi counselor. Like, he's like, there's more to me than that.
Yeah. And I think like having a lot of relationships where people are kind of thinking of you as one thing and then kind of it changing in a church environment might be weird, and they might think of that person as, you know, their determining, you know, identifier. And I struggle with that in real life too, where it's like, you know, not wanting to, maybe not like telling people like the first couple of times that they meet me, and so that they don't kind of like, so that that's not something that they're latching on to as part of my identity, I guess, you know. Not that I'm like closeted, but I'm not like, I also don't really present that way. So it's like, you know, it's kind of fun for me for it to be like a couple of things later, conversations later.
Agreed. I think it's more natural that way. In fact, well, because he said it on this podcast, I can repeat the story, but my friend's story was that he was actually performing in New York on stage, and a very attractive woman in the cast cornered him at the end of the day once and said, "So what's your deal? Like, are you straight? Are you gay?" And he said, "To be honest, I sleep with women, but my primary partner's a man." And she looked at him in the eyes apparently and said, "That's so hot. Will you come home with me right now?" And he did. But anyway, so
there you go.
But it was a good way into the show. And, you know, yeah, he just didn't bother, you know, wasn't anyone's, didn't need to define him.
Yeah. I'm curious, what did you kind of think of the secondary characters? Because that was part two, as I wanted to show a lot of different types of people at a church camp. I had a youth pastor who, like, we couldn't say that he was technically a pastor because it, you know, like, just kind of the legal jargon of the church. So that was kind of like the running bit with the minister Dave. But yeah,
I might have missed that subtlety, but I thought all your characters are great. I mean, the from the fellow counselors to the campers to the camper who was out. Yeah, I just found it to be very true to life, which is refreshing, right? Because, and I mean, honestly, I might not have remembered that this was a thesis film.
Mm-hmm.
But so one of my praises of it would be that I really love how it treats young people with respect.
Oh.
Because I think a lot of, especially once people are in their 20s, 30s, and God forbid, 40s or 50s, my age, is when people write young people, there's such bad stereotypes, and they don't really give teenagers the credit they deserve.
Yeah.
I think for being smart and interesting and deep people.
Yeah.
And I think your whole cast fits that, where they are real people, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. The redhead camper, she was kind of someone that we cast just from Tallahassee, and she is a little bit similar in her like mannerisms to the actual character. Same with like the lead. He's a little bit similar to his character. So we were definitely like trying to cast people who like had an authenticity to them and looked for a lot of different types of people that, you know, could. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely hard to work with young actors, but very rewarding as well. Because I do think like the walls sometimes are not put up as much as maybe like an actor who is kind of set in their ways and older, and like has a specific way of like working and tics and specific like bad habits and that kind of thing. So
for sure. And I did you know your lead before you cast him? Or
no, I was worried about finding someone like that who was an actor, because that wasn't, you know, when you're in like a acting school, there's a lot of people who are more kind of, and you know, this is nothing against Espen, but like put together like more, you know, actory, like they act like they look and act like actors. And so I was looking for someone that was a little bit more the character. And so I actually, like, he was a freshman and he just like had gotten into the sketch comedy troupe that I was a part of, and he kind of approached stuff more through comedy. And so I was like, this is the guy, this is the character. So it was just kind of kismet that it happened that way.
For sure. Yeah. Cause I mean, I, if you had told me you had him in mind at the script level, I would have believed you because he seems that perfect for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was, it all came together. I definitely really enjoyed the casting process as far as like finding the right people for each role. Cause, especially with stuff like this or with comedies, it's so helpful to really cast right and cast interesting people. And the this is random, but the gloves, that's also from my true life. I used to like tend to my dry hands by wearing gloves to hide the Vaseline so I could like actually pick up things without having like Vaseline over my hand. This is a weird when I was like in sixth grade in the RV, traveling in the RV.
Very cool. Very cool. And the rest of the people, so it was a good casting, all that went well. And sounds like you actually made a reference to like, you know, things tended to go well for you at film school. So like no big challenges getting it the way you wanted it.
We were filming in a church camp in, like a real life church camp in, Central Florida, I believe, in like Gainesville, like outside Gainesville. And there's a really rural area, and our producing team, the producer's name is Jay, and she and the second AD Ryan, they got a lot of extras, which was, you know, very hard to find kid extras, like not during the summer. So that was definitely a challenge that they crushed and did such an amazing job. And then the production designer, like having to, her name is Connie, and she had to, with her art director, Luca, like find a lot of different stuff and cover a lot of wide areas, you know, these big rooms, big fields and stuff like that. And then make a PVC pipe, bread Jesus that they like covered in bread that was life-sized. So we definitely had a lot of challenges in that regard, and we were all at the same camp sleeping overnight for like 3 days. So traveling down there, like having two travel days essentially, and filming on one of the travel days and baking in that time in the schedule, that was definitely a challenge. But there wasn't a crazy amount of challenges that I've had on other projects.
Oh, cool. And it came.
Great crew, a lot of support. So
excellent. All right. So, and then you, and that got you your bachelor's, I guess.
Yeah. That and like writing a feature, which I did like as an honors in the major, and then just kind of finishing the thesis film was kind of the requisite to get the bachelor's.
For sure. And you got it, which is cool. And then did you go straight to New York?
I had like 6 months in Atlanta, and I shot a couple of really small ads, and then I also did a music video for an artist. And then I did some comedy music videos and sketches, kind of like considered Atlanta and had fun and fostered some connections there and in the Atlanta comedy and film scene. And then went up to New York about a year ago and kind of have been there since. But I went back to Atlanta recently for to shoot like a comedy short film. And that was really fun. And the writer and actor in that, she, flew us down from New York to, myself and the production designer, Kim, to shoot that short film. So that was a great experience, and, got like a SAG waiver and all that stuff, you know, because of the strikes and everything. But that was just a nice experience to like be able to direct something again. And, be on set again when work has been really slow and make something that we were all super excited about.
Excellent. Yeah, for sure. And I guess that's home base. So anytime you want to go, It's not like you have to cover rent in another spot.
Exactly. Yeah. And having a lot of resources there is helpful for film production as well. Just, you know, stuff can be a lot cheaper than New York. Like, we're paying the same for labor and equipment, but not for, like, you know, transportation. You know, transporting equipment is a lot harder in New York, and locations are a lot harder in New York and stuff like that.
For sure, for sure. Have you been shooting stuff in New York, though? Have you been...
Yeah, I've shot a couple of small comedy sketches. Right now, kind of my thought is not trying to make too many bigger productions at the moment. Trying to meet people, show the work that I have made, and maybe solicit some paid work in, you know, the realm of comedy or in the realm of like making a project. And I have some projects that I'm still in post-production on, so just finishing those up. Yeah, that's kind of my focus right now, and waiting out the strike.
And I think the strike.
Yeah. And I think that the next kind of big project would be something, you know, long form, like a feature or something like that. Just because I've really enjoyed making shorts, and like I'm excited to screen my shorts in more places and like have more people watch them. But it is, you know, definitely wanting to do like an independent feature at some point. It's kind of the goal, because sketches also like kind of have taken the realm of shorts for me, with the exception of the one that I just made, which was nice to have a bigger budget and more time. But sketches have kind of taken the spot a little bit.
I mean, they're really, it's a fine line between a sketch that you shoot as a film and a comedy that's scripted. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. I think like you don't need necessarily as much depth or like verisimilitude, but you need a little bit. So it's like, they are a little bit amorphous as like to what is a sketch and what is a short. But like if something, you know, doesn't have maybe like a deep moment, I would think it's not a short. If it's like, if it's also cheap, or if it's like, you know, like a comedy music video, like I don't call that a short film. I might call it a comedy short or a comedy sketch, but I wouldn't call it like a short film.
Yeah. And sketch almost implies single location. Whereas if you're making a short film, you're going to move multiple spots and stuff.
Yeah. Sketch like is usually a couple of people in one spot, and there's one funny thing that you make a lot of jokes about, and then you have a twist, and then you have a last joke that is right before cutting to black. So they're relatively structured. Whereas I feel like a short film, there's a lot of different permutations of it, but permutations.
Which is funny, but I guess that is the way sketch has gone, whether it was Second City or UCB or whatever, is sketch ends up being actually very structured. I mean, there's a lot of rules actually. It's very funny that it was funny to me that you talked about how like a short film can be more exploratory. It's kind of funny. Like you would think sketch would be where people are really experimenting, but maybe you have a little more freedom when you're just writing a comedy script.
Yeah. I don't know. I have found a lot of freedom in not having to spend as much time, you know, especially like having only a couple of big projects in film school and like pouring a lot of hours into a script and stuff. Obviously, I want to do that again with long form stuff. But, you know, a short film can take as long as a feature, or almost as long as a feature sometimes, for a lot less of the runtime, and you can't sell it usually. And so, you know, I found a lot of freedom in just making stuff that can just be funny, and I can just put it online and people can see it immediately, and it's only 2 minutes long and it didn't cost that much money. I found a lot of freedom in that. But yeah, they can definitely be more structured depending on the type of sketch that you've made. I've made a couple of sketches that are really weird, and sometimes it does hurt you because, you know, if everything's weird, like what can the audience like grab onto, I guess, you know, like it's like the term that UCB calls like crazy town, where it's like, there's just so many different things going on that you can't really like follow one joke and like escalate one joke. Yeah. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of sketch writing, but there's definitely a lot of, you know, different schools of thought about like what makes a good sketch. I'm definitely not like super dogmatic about it, but you know, there's definitely a structure.
Yeah. I can't help but respond to the crazy town thing. I always quote, a line from that film Where the Buffalo Roam, where Bill Murray was playing Hunter S. Thompson. And he just says, it never got weird enough for me. Like crazy town sounds like my kind of place, but anyway,
yeah.
I was going to ask you, if in New York, are you, when there's not a strike, are you getting on crews? Are you doing some of that kind of work?
Yeah. Doing less of it now. Trying to spend more time, you know, doing creative stuff or, you know, comedy stuff or personal stuff. I worked on, a comedy special. Are you familiar with John Early?
Yeah, I've heard him.
I worked on his comedy special that's on Max, and that was really a fun experience, and met a lot of cool people through that. And have worked on a couple of other. I've worked a lot in advertising, and somewhat in post production and advertising. So, that has kind of been a different world that I've explored. But I'm on set tomorrow for some documentary commercial thing. So that'll be fun. And, you know, at some point finding something that's more, long-term, that's maybe not in production, maybe in development or acquisitions or something like that. Or, you know, just a random job and doing comedy in the evenings and
right, kind of like an office job.
Yeah
the two. So I already forget the two terms you said, but yeah, development and whatever. It's like, yeah, all right, so you know, related to film, related to entertainment, but something a little more regular.
Yeah it can be, or working for, you know, an agency. I mean, those jobs are hard to get to, but yeah, or working in a prop house or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. There, it's all valuable. It's all good stuff.
Yeah,
excellent. All right, is there anything we left out that you wanna jump into real quick?
I don't think so. Yeah, had a great time making the film and the big powder war at the midpoint of the movie, and the composer's name is Alana, and she did a great job like creating real songs that we wanted to make. So that was really fun to make a Christian song, because sometimes those contemporary Christian songs, they just like the metaphors that they're using are very like romantic in terms of talking about God. So that was one of the jokes there. But other than that, did nothing else I want to talk about. My Instagram is Andrew Bourne, Bourne, just straight through Andrew Bourne. So if anyone wants to check out comedy sketches or comedy music videos, those will be posted there.
Yeah, it's actually a great time for short form stuff right now, obviously, with social media and everything, to just be able to share stuff. Yeah, and comedians all the time are just sharing, you know, 10, 15 second bits, maybe a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends.
The really big ones, even the household names are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. People that are, you know, people are just putting parts of their comedy special on TikTok, like a lot of their comedy special on TikTok. And I need to get better at like kind of the vertical format and trying to grab the audience as quickly as possible. Cause the, you know, 3 minute, 4 minute long form sketch format is a little bit harder to do online. Especially like a horizontal frame with like people sitting and like taking a second to like establish what the unusual thing is like harder online. So.
That's yeah, film and TikTok are like unfriendly cousins, man.
Yeah.
Because nothing's sorry. More beautiful than a 16 by 9 or even 235:1. Like a nice wide aspect ratio looks beautiful on a movie screen.
Yeah.
And TikTok is that godforsaken vertical portrait mode that for years, I remember so many people talked about just take your phone and turn it sideways before you take the photo or before you take the video. And now there's like the biggest fucking platform on earth is vertical. It's portrait mode. Ugh, terrible. Yeah. One of these days you're going to walk into someone's house and their TV is going to be them.
it's definitely won out for sure. And it makes me sad sometimes when I have to like frame out stuff and in a sketch or, you know, cause some of my sketches are cinematic. And so it is tough to frame out stuff.
And letterboxing on TikTok, people just despise, right? It just makes the image too small.
Yeah. It makes the image pretty small. One music video I'm a little worried about because a lot of the shots like have to be 16 by 9 in order to like make sense. So like that one is letterboxed. And so hopefully that works out in our favor, but
for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to share one thing that I thought of while you were talking, which is, and the comedy thing is it's actually TV High. We've added some comedy and we're adding more, excuse me. In fact, just yesterday, we got a submission from a kick-ass stand-up comedian, like a little seven-minute video that she kills. So
nice.
I'm hoping that maybe TV High will become a good home for stand-up, since besides social media, like, you know, there's not a lot of homes for it anymore. Like Comedy Central's kind of turned their back on performers now, and they're just trying to go all animated. And so anyway.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I promise that the at Andrew Bourne social media link will be clickable link in the show notes.
Nice. Thank you so much.
And I guess I'll go on the final, my final spiel of all the websites and everything that people should check out. But first and foremost, thank you, Andrew, for hopping onto Zoom and talking to me.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was so much fun, and thank you so much for listening.
Sure. And for anyone who is interested, first of all, please like and subscribe if you want to be nice, or even write a review about for this podcast. I don't always say it, but I believe you're probably like guest number over 200 on the podcast, and there are not 200 reviews on iTunes. So it's very funny. So in fact, I think there's like 15. So I guess that means like barely less than 10% actually review the podcast they've been on, which is kind of funny. So anyway, I'm asking people listening, like, subscribe, you know, review if you want. If you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series it gave birth to, just go to discoverindiefilm.com. On social media, it's always at DIFWINS. And I said the TV series was born from it. That's on Amazon Prime Video. I learned doing the podcast, started this in 2017, actually, I think. And I learned that all the people who were at the festivals who had features were ending up on streaming platforms. And all the shorts were ending up on, you know, YouTube, maybe Vimeo, and one in an ocean of billions. So I said to a bunch of short filmmakers, hey, do you want to, we'll put everyone's shorts together and make a TV series that we can use Prime Video Direct to get it on that platform. And they all said yes. So there's 7 seasons of that so far. Season 8 will be coming. But as we just As Andrew and I discussed by email, it's a little tricky right now with the strike and Amazon Prime Video being kind of part of the problem, right? Streaming is kind of part of the problem that the writers and actors are dealing with. But anyway, I can say to those of you listening, if you go to Amazon Prime Video, hopefully on a big TV, have an app on a smart TV device or whatever, you can just type in Discover Indie Film and check out really good stuff that people made themselves, indie stuff that they made their own. It's whatever. It's the best of the festival circuit. All right. So that's Discover Indie Film. I talked about how Church Camp, Andrew's film, played at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. We hold that one every November. And if you want to learn more, that's ShermanOaksFF.com. And it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And then there's a sister festival every June called Film Invasion Los Angeles. And you can learn about that one at FilmInvasionLA.com. And it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I'll add, Andrew is generous with you were generous with your time, and you were on the filmmakers board for Film Invasion LA this last June. So thank you for doing that. It's always nice when someone who wins Filmmakers Board Awards then jumps on the board and honors their peers.
Yeah, of course. This is a fun time.
Yeah. And the last thing to mention is I said how you can, if you want to watch Church Camp right now, you can do it. Just go to watchtvhigh.com or go to a smart TV device. Everything but Samsung's proprietary thing. We're on Roku, Amazon Prime, Amazon Fire Stick, Apple TV, Android TV, iPhone, Android Mobile. Download the app TV High, TVHI, and hey, you get a free week. And by the way, if you're listening to this, you want a free month. Actually, you get a free month trial if you use the code STREAM420. I wonder how many people use that. But anyway, all right. Andrew Bourne, it was a lot of fun getting to know you better.
Yeah, likewise. Definitely good to talk about the project. I haven't had a lot of Q&As, so it was a really nice conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, you almost inspired me to ask one last question, but I already did the outro, so I got to stay true to it. All right, well, thank you, Andrew, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you.